sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
You are listening to That's a Freebie, and it is the only podcast that features me. I am your host, Diggy. Welcome to the show. As usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. And this question is a little bit spooky because we're getting up to Halloween. And I thought I'd try and do a little bit of spookiness for the episode. And the question for this week is, have you ever seen or felt the presence of a ghost? Answer to that is I don't really know. I would say, you know, go back to the episodes where I talk about sleep paralysis, because I reckon that's probably the closest I've ever been. I, of course, had like probably every kid does. When I was a kid, I used to think there was a ghost around every corner. We had a dinner lady actually at school who would tell us ghost stories at lunchtime. Like she would have a book full of ghost stories. I'm not 100% sure, but looking back now, I have a feeling she might have gotten fired for doing that as well, because she just disappeared one day. And you know, where you're just like, maybe seems like that could have happened, because she probably shouldn't have been telling a load of kids in primary school ghost stories, especially the ones that she was telling, because they were clearly books that were meant for adults. They were very gory, very graphic, that kind of stuff. And she used to tell a story that she thought she'd seen a portal on a wall in her bedroom as a child, like a glowing portal, and ghosts would come out of it and scare her and try and take her away and things like that. So, of course, for the next 70 years after that, I used to dream about a portal appearing on my wall and ghosts trying to take me to the underworld. So that's, I think, about the closest I've ever gotten to seeing or feeling the presence of a ghost, and it was just a figment of my imagination. So, no, I don't think I could honestly say it's really happened. If you would like to ask a question to open up the show, just head into the show notes or thatsfreebie.com, and you'll be able to find a link to the multi-purpose feedback form. Lets you fill in and ask a freebie question. It lets you give general feedback. And it also lets you send in topics for Podtails as well. For those that don't know, because I don't really refer it to it as Podtails in the section anymore, Podtails is the section in the middle where I talk about like a subject of the week. Just in case you was wondering what that meant. So it happened to me again. I got accosted by one of the charity workers who just wouldn't let it go. I nearly started singing Let It Go then. It's not going to happen. It wasn't quite as bad as the last time that it happened, but I'm walking to the library last week. I needed to go and use the printer there. And as I'm headed to the library, I could see Age Concern stood there, like jumping on everybody as they went past. I don't really have a problem with people collecting for charities. I have a problem with people not accepting no for an answer because, well, I just think it's rude. I'm sure we all do, really. So I'm walking along. I could see a beelining for me, and I just held my hand up. And the funny thing is I didn't have my hearing aids in, so I couldn't really hear her that well anyway. I had my AirPods in and had them on transparency mode, blah, blah, blah. So I could tell what she said, but I wouldn't have been able to carry a conversation. And she said, "Excuse me, have you got a minute?" And I said, "I'm really, really sorry. I can't stop. I'm in a massive rush." And I was plowing along. I actually was in a rush. And she said, "Well, can I just ask you one thing then?" And I said, "No, what did I just say? You cannot ask me anything." And she followed me, which was a bit bizarre, into the library. It was weird. I was going up the escalator in the library, and she's like, "It'll only take a second." And I just turned right away. "What part of no do you not get?" And then I swore at her and she left, because it was the only way I could think to actually like really get her to understand that I did not want to be accosted. Yeah, really weird. I don't know what makes people think that that's okay to do. Guess who's back? A crossing guard's back. Ah, I couldn't make that rhyme. I tried. I could not do it. Yeah, you remember the crossing guard, you know, the guy who not very bright, stands in the wrong places, does all kinds of weird stuff. Like he stands right on the edge of the pavement, leaving his big lollipop sticking in the road. A lollipop is the stand that says stop on it, for those listening not in the UK that might not know what that is. He's back, because guess what he's done this time? He forgot to leave the road. I couldn't believe it. So I'm driving down the road. He's there, stood in the middle of the road, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, there's nobody crossing. What's he doing? So I slowed down to stop. And, well, I actually slowed down to stop behind other cars, because the other cars had stopped as well. And he stood there in the road. But what he does, he sort of stands to one side. He doesn't stand in the very center of the road. No one could work out why this is. And it's just one of those things that he does. And he stood there and he's just staring into the distance, like absolutely oblivious to what's going on around him. There's a row of cars behind him. There's a row of cars in front of him. Anyway, the row of cars that I'm in decided, well, actually, there's enough room for us to get through there. So if he just started driving around him, didn't move. I was thinking, is he okay? Is he maybe having, is there an issue? Is there something going on? And then he snapped out of it, looked around and went, oh, and started laughing. He'd basically forgotten to move after he'd let people cross. Yeah, he's really that bad. I have two tram stories for you this week. I'm making up for last week. Now, the first tram story isn't necessarily a story about the trams. It's just something that I saw on a tram and it confused me to no end. And it, you know, qualifies as a tram story. I was sat on a tram at the time. I saw some guy with his AirPods in the wrong gears. Like, and so he had his left and his right and his right and his left. But they were the second generation and first generation ones. So they're very easy to put in the correct way. It's almost impossible to put them the wrong way. He had it basically where the speakers, the bit that let the sound out, were facing the backs of his ears. So there is no way he could hear them properly. I could not understand how you could get them so wrong, but he did. And then the second tram story for this week is something that I saw happen just yesterday. So as time of recording, today is Monday morning, and yesterday was the Manchester Half Marathon. And the problem with that for me is simply that there are hundreds and hundreds of people trying to get on the trams to get to the marathon. And I'm stood at the stop that I always wait at. I set off an hour and a half earlier than I need to set off because I knew it was going to be busy. And it was unbelievably busy. The number of people that brought prams to try and put them on the tram was astounding. And they were getting angrier and angrier because they couldn't actually get the prams on the trams. That's really weird to say. It was to the point where people were like getting on the tram and the friends were pushing them into the doors. You know, like you see on YouTube videos, they were just shoving them into the doors, like pushing them in as the doors were closing and moving their arms quick. It was ridiculous. It took four trams before I was able to actually get on one to get into work. And I was the first one there. Every time a tram turned up, I just got shoved out of the way because they would all run to it and just squeeze on basically and help one another get on. Now that isn't the actual story. That's just to give some context to what happened. So I finally gets on the tram. I gets on and I got off at St. Peter's Square because I just couldn't handle being crushed by a number of people anymore. And it wasn't much of a walk. It was like a 5 to 10 minute walk from there. So as I get off, I could see on the other side, the doors were closing on a tram. And this guy was power belting along. He was running as fast as he could. And he dove through the doors as they were closing. But what he didn't anticipate was just how full those trams were. So he dove through the door head first and headbutted the person on the other side of the door, straight in the middle of the face. And then the doors closed on his legs behind him and he fell on the floor. And all I saw at that point, because I just carried on walking, all I saw was the other person's head go back, blood comes spurting out of her nose. And then I just heard a big raucous of everyone going, getting dead angry. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting out of here before this all kicks off. So I've no idea how that went. But what a stupid thing to do, just diving through the doors like that. Like, even if there weren't other people on the tram, that's dangerous. Like, people astound me. This week, I'm going to be talking about the mystery of the Schuylkill notes. Now, I have double checked this. Schuylkill is the correct pronunciation of this word. It is actually spelled S-C-H-U-Y-L-K-I-L-L. Now, where the hell did that word come from? Oh, you're going to find out in a minute. So imagine going for a hike in the woods, or maybe buying your favorite box of cookies and finding a small piece of paper stuffed inside, filled with cryptic symbols and, of course, because these things always are, conspiracy theories. Welcome to the strange world of Schuylkill Notes, a mysterious series of messages that have been popping up in random places across Pennsylvania and beyond. These little notes are like something out of a mystery novel. They've been found in everything, from food packaging to shoeboxes, and no one really knows who's behind them. It's a real-life puzzle that has amateur investigators and, of course, Reddit sleuths working overtime to figure it out. The notes first reported in 2019, though some claim they do go back as early as 2015, are named after Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, where many were initially found. Early Reddit users dubbed them Schuylkill Schizo Notes because of their jumbled, confused content. However, after concerns about the term being ableist, they switched to just calling them Schuylkill Notes. Whatever you call them, these messages have a way of showing up in the most unexpected places. People have discovered the notes hanging from tree branches, tucked inside sealed food products, and even in clothes pockets at the store. They've been found in state parks, hiking trails, and even inside beauty products. And while they started out in Pennsylvania, these notes have begun to spread to other states like Tennessee, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas. It's like a mystery, and it's growing, and no one knows how far it will go. Now, here's where things get really interesting. That it's you can imagine the content of the notes. Each one is about the size of a business card, but the amount of information crammed into them is mind-boggling. Now, what I'm actually going to do here, if you are in a position where you can look at the screen of your device that you're listening to this on, I'm going to set it as a picture of one as the show art. So have yourself a little bit of a look. Most of the notes contain a mix of conspiracy theories that link secret societies, world governments, and even major companies to bizarre and cryptic plots. Some notes even feature one giant word in all caps, usually lies, as they're shouting at you from the page. The themes are a mashup of topics from government agencies like the CIA and FBI to figures like John F. Kennedy, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. They also name drop celebrities and companies like Disney, Google, Pfizer, and even car brands like Ford and BMW. It's like a grab bag of everything you'd see on a conspiracy theory website. By late 2023, people began finding these notes in more alarming places inside sealed food packaging, which led to calls to the authorities. After all, tampering with food is a federal crime. News reports and social media posts started popping up, and soon the FDA, local law enforcement, and even members of Congress got involved. With so many people worried, the mystery of who was putting these notes into everything from cake mix to milk duds needed some serious investigation. Reddit has been on the case from the beginning, of course they have, with a whole subreddit dedicated to tracking the notes and trying to figure out where they're coming from. The group has over 30,000 members, and of course it's growing. And they've even created a Google map to track all the places the notes have been found. So far, more than 130 individual notes have been logged across the region. Whilst most of the notes have been found in northeastern and central Pennsylvania, they're starting to pop up all over. People have found them in grocery stores, clothing stores, and even popular chains like Walmart, Target, and Trader Joe's. Some of the strangest places include shoeboxes in Payless, inside packages of Lucky Charms, and even wrapped up in chocolate bars. At first, it seemed like the notes were confined to Pennsylvania, but in 2024, they had spread to Tennessee, North Carolina, and beyond. It's like the mystery is growing, and there are no clear signs of it stopping. Despite all the attention, no one really knows who's responsible for these notes. Are they the work of a single person? A group? And what's their motive? The notes are filled with conspiracy theories, but no one has come forward to claim responsibility. Is it a prank that's just gotten out of hand, or something more serious? Local authorities and the FBI are investigating, but so far, the identity of the person or people behind the notes remains a mystery. It's a real-life puzzle, and there is no solution currently in sight. It is one of the strangest mysteries that I've come across whilst trying to find mysteries. It fascinates me to no end, and I'd love to know where this goes in the future. I just hope it is somebody just playing a little bit of a prank and not something more nefarious, but I guess we will maybe never know. If you want to send in a topic for Pod Tales, feel free to do so. Just go to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com. I have heard your reports as well. I know thatsafreebie.com doesn't often work very well. I don't know why. I'm trying to work it out. There is some sort of bizarre issue with the way I have to route the web address for the different pages that are on there. So I will probably just make an actual website in the future. I did used to have one, but it was just costing money that was unnecessary. But I might have to jump back into having a full-on website where I could just send you there instead. But for now, you can click the link in the show notes and that will always take you to the form. That link will always work. This week's pick of the week is the Six Colors podcast. It is called Six Colors because it is named after the original six colors of the Apple logo. And it is a news website. It's run by Jason Snell and Dan Morin. Dan Morin is actually one of my favorite authors. Go and check out his books. I've mentioned them before on the show. So do have a look at that. And Jason Snell is quite possibly one of my favorite tech journalists. He's been around for a very long time. And they, many, many years ago, set out on their own venture because they both got laid off from Macworld, where they worked at the time. And so they needed something else to do. So they started their own website where they just they report the news. And it's not one of these places that does rumors as well and things like that. It's not clickbaity. It is actual news and it's articles about how they use technology in their lives. It's pretty good. They do have a podcast. Now, the podcast is only available for subscribers to the site, and it's like a little podcast on how they are putting the website together and the stuff that's been up on there and just their general thoughts on things. But it is interesting if you feel like listening to it, but you would have to subscribe. It might be worth doing it for at least a month just so you can get an idea of what it's like, because, as you know, as with all these podcasts, it's a good podcast. This week is my wedding anniversary. It's actually today, in fact, is my wedding anniversary. We have been married for 12 years, 12 great years as well. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Because the reason I'm telling you that is we went out for a meal to celebrate. And while we were at the meal, we sat down at the restaurant and I was just a little bit confused by some of the dishes that are on there. So I said to the waitress, can I ask you a question about the menu, please? And she slapped me. And I couldn't believe it. I was gobsmacked. She proper just slapped me. My wife was like, I don't know what to do about this. She looked at me. She just screamed, "The men I please are no concern of yours."